Thank you, Shonda. We appreciate that. Now, I know you've heard it several times already this morning, and you've probably said it several times. Anyway, happy Mother's Day. Now, today is a very special day. And I know that for many, Mother's Day is difficult. For some, it's because children weren't possible. For others, mother's no longer physically present for you to honor. And for some, mother wasn't a helpful reflection of Christ's love in your home. But on our journey through life, nothing can compare with the impact made by our mothers. Their words, for good or for bad, are never fully forgotten, and the memory of their presence lasts a lifetime. Abraham Lincoln said, "No one is poor who had a godly mother." And I believe he was right. The influence of a godly mother on her children cannot be overstated. Now, there are some notable examples of motherhood in the Bible. But this morning, I want to mention two special passages. One is found in Proverbs chapter 31. I want you to listen to a few selected verses. "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She considers the field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. She makes linen garments and sells them, supplies the merchants with sashes. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." Now, the second passage was written by the Apostle Paul to young Timothy. He says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." I'm going to ask you, all of you, to read with me that one last passage together. It's on the screen. So let's begin. "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Now, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, like Timothy's mother, or one who works like the mother praised in Proverbs 31, the emphasis of my sermon this morning has to do with the mother's influence upon her children and her family. And I urge those who have no children or whose children are far away, look around. Take note of those who may be in need of a parent figure, or a second mom, or dad. You may be just the mentor or friend that someone else needs. Mothers and fathers too. In other words, I'm preaching not just to the women today. I'm including you. Mothers and fathers, I encourage you to recommit to the task God has entrusted to you. Building a home according to the blueprint of Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, which says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge needs to be passed on to our children so that they might build their lives on a foundation sufficient for all their needs. Now, I really need to stop here and say, not only to our children, to our grandchildren, and now that we have a bunch in our family, even our great-grandchildren. How many do we have? 9? 9, great, okay. Thank you. Now, 4 scholars were arguing over Bible translations. One thought the King James Version was the best because of its eloquent style of speech. Another preferred the American Standard Version for its accurate translation of the original Hebrew and Greek. And a third preferred the New International Version because of its modern language and ease of understanding. After thinking about it, the 4th scholar said, well, I've always preferred my mother's translation. When the others expressed surprise, they didn't know that she was a translator. He responded, yes, she translated it into life. And that's the best translation I ever had. Now, we've already mentioned one young man who saw such a translation of God's Word in his lifetime. His name was Timothy. He lived in the first century, and it is to him that Paul wrote the letters in the New Testament of 1st and 2nd Timothy. Paul was Timothy's friend and mentor. As Paul sat in a Roman jail, actually a dungeon, facing death, he wrote to Timothy to encourage him in his ministry. Now, as far as we know, the letter of 2 Timothy was the last letter Paul ever wrote before his execution. But both 1 and 2 Timothy are also letters filled with nostalgia. Paul draws upon his memories and recalls the examples of faith and commitment he has observed in the life of Timothy, particularly in 2 Timothy. Paul mentions the way Timothy's faithfulness is largely a reflection of the example and instruction which he had received from his mother and grandmother. And in the process, Paul pinpoints four contributions they made to Timothy's life. Listen to 2 Timothy verses 1, 2 through 7. To Timothy, my dear son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I mean, that entire passage deals with the contributions that Timothy's mother and grandmother had made to him as he was growing up. The first contribution is a living faith. In verse 5, Paul refers to Timothy's sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Now, the word sincere here is the word that means without hypocrisy, genuine. It's a faith that is real and that has been applied realistically and consistently to the issues and situations of life. Where Lois and Eunice came from originally, we have no idea. All we know is that they eventually settled in the Roman town of Lystra. Now, apparently, Lois and Eunice lived their faith in front of Timothy, lived it faithfully. They had been born Jewish, but they came to know about Jesus, and they took their faith in Christ seriously. Seriously enough to make sure that Eunice's young son knew all about him. Now, what did Timothy hear and see in his home? Well, assuming that he was a normal kid, everything, despite all the aggravation our children give us by apparently not hearing what we say to them, they still hear and see, and it does make an impression for good or for bad. Those of us who have or have had young children are amazed at the things youngsters pick up. They see commercials on TV, and then when taken to the grocery store, they're ready and prepared with a mental list of the brand names that have attracted their attention. They repeat words or phrases they hear around the house, too, sometimes to mommy and daddy's embarrassment. They might be naive and is easily led, but kids will not be fooled for long. And just as they're not easily fooled, they'll not be fooled about religion either, I'm convinced. So if you want to share the gospel with your children or with anyone else, you had better take your own faith seriously. Paying lip service to Christ and the church will never give the proper message. By your own attendance at Sunday school and worship, by your own participation in the life and mission of the church, by the effort you put forth in the deepening of your own relationship with the Lord, you will determine what lessons about the Lord and the church your children will learn first. One thing is certain. Parents can never fool their children with the message of, do as I say, not as I do. Kids are too smart for that. If you tell them Sunday school and worship is important, but you find other things to do on Sunday, what message will your children get? If you tell them a personal relationship with the Lord is important, but they never see you opening the Bible or praying, what message will they get? I mean, you know the answer. Parents who want to claim the name of Christian had better make sure their faith shows in front of their children. Now, apparently, Lois and Eunice lived their faith in front of Timothy. They made whatever effort they could to learn about Jesus. And then mother and grandmother passed on the results of their learning to the impressionable boy. They gave him a wonderful legacy, a living faith. This kind of living faith is what we all should demonstrate to our children through our actions as well as through our words. Now, a second contribution is in verse 7, for it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. And this is what I call a ready confidence. Now, the term for power is the Greek word dunamos. Sometimes dunamos, from which we get the word dynamite. Now, the word suggests inner might. Mothers and fathers, as you demonstrate inner strength that is ready to tackle life's needs, your children will sense security and confidence and will begin to demonstrate the same kind of confidence themselves. Harry and Ada Day. Now, I don't imagine, does anybody know who Harry and Ada Day is or was? Okay, that's what I thought. Harry, well, you all are a younger generation. Harry and Ada Day lived in a four-room adobe house with no running water and no electricity, hundreds of miles from the nearest city. There was no school within driving range. It seemed the future for their daughter, Sandra, was rather bleak. But Ada Day scrimped enough to subscribe to urban newspapers. She started an intense program of homeschooling. Later, she saved enough to send Sandra to the best boarding school available to them. Sandra went on then to Stanford, then to law school, and eventually Sandra Day O'Connor became the first woman Supreme Court Justice of the United States. Now, Sandra's intelligence and inner drive had much to do with that, but I believe credit must go to the determination of her mother, sitting in her adobe house at night, reading to her children hour after hour, not giving in to the spirit of timidity that Paul mentioned, but tapping into the spirit of power instead. Mothers, God's Holy Spirit can infuse your life with power unimaginable to you. Allow the Spirit to build you into a model of ready confidence in the face of life's obstacles. Now, third, they contributed a remarkable love. Paul also says in verse 7 that we have been given a spirit of love. And this is not just any love. It's love that seeks the highest good for others. Now let me stop for just a second. I think you already know from hearing a lot of different sermons over the years that there are different words for love in the Greek language. For example, I love cherry pie. It's not the same word as I love my wife. There's a difference. Or I love my family. Or, well, let's... Okay, I do love cherry pie in case that interests any of you. But the love that's used here by Paul is a selfless love that seeks the highest good for others. It's selfless. It's love that continues on, even when you're tired, when it hurts. It's love when it means staying at the task longer than you anticipated. It's love when it means caring in ways and at times you had not planned. That's why we can only describe it as remarkable love. Now, fourth, they contributed restraining discipline. Verse 7 says that God has given us a spirit of self-discipline, balanced, consistent self-control. Now, listen to this next statement I'm going to make. Well, I hope you've been listening to all of this. But anyway, listen to this. It's been said that children need two pats on the back. One high enough to encourage them when they do right, and one low enough to discourage them when they do wrong. Dorothy Nolte wrote, "If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. And the only way to be fair to our children is to praise when praise is appropriate, and to discipline when discipline is appropriate. Yet today is a special day, and for most of us, there are many precious memories that we'll always treasure. And I have many about my home and my mother. But please listen to this story. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. Is the way long? She asked. And her guide said, yes, and the way is hard, and you will be old before you reach the end. But the end will be better than the beginning. The young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children along the way, gathered flowers with them. The sun shone on them, and life was good. And the young woman cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. Then the night came, and storm, and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold. And the mother drew them close and covered them with her coat. And the children said, oh, mother, we're not afraid, for you are near, and no harm can come. The mother said, this is better than the brightness of the day, for I have taught my children courage. The morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary. But she said to her children, a little patience, and we will be there. So the children climbed, and when they reached the top, they said, we could not have done it without you, mother. And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked up at the stars and said, this day is better than the last, for my children have learned perseverance in the face of difficulty. Yesterday I gave them courage. Today I have given them strength. When the next day came, strange clouds gathered, which darkened the earth, clouds of war and hatred, and the children groped and stumbled. The mother said, look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked up and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory, and it guided them, and then brought them beyond the darkness. That night the mother said, this is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God. The days went on, and weeks, months, and years, and the mother grew old, and she was little and bent. But her children were strong and tall and walked with courage. When the way was hard, they helped their mother. When the way was rough, they lifted her up. And at last they came to a hill, and golden gates opened wide. The mother said, I have reached the end of my journey, and now I know that the end is better than the beginning, for my children can walk alone and their children after them. The children said, "You will always walk with us, Mother, even when you have gone through the gates." And they stood and watched her as she went on alone. And the gates closed after her. And they said, "We cannot see her, but she is with us still." I think of my mother often. I think of her faith, her sacrifices, her life, her testimony. I can remember some of the things that happened when we lived in the border of Tibet, China. I can remember things that happened as I was growing up. Those memories I'll have forever. I owe my mother and my father so much. What I owe them the most about is that they place within my heart a faith that causes me to rejoice. We saw the first song that we sang is I have a melody in my heart, joy in my heart, because today, even though I haven't seeing my mother physically for almost 50 years, she still means so much to me. What kind of legacy will you leave? What kind of legacy are we giving to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren? Or even if we're not a parent, what witness are we making? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? I do. I believe with all my heart that someday, and probably someday soon, that I will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a Christian. I belong to Jesus Christ, and He belongs to me. Do you want that kind of faith? Do you have that confidence, that joy, that peace? If not, Christ invites you to come, to become a part of His family, to accept Him as your Savior and as your Lord. If you have a decision you need to make, we invite you to come publicly. And if it's prayer, we'll pray with you. If it's help in understanding what it means to be a part of a congregation, a family of God, we'll help you with that too. Whatever your need, God can be of help. And we as God's people, God's family, we'll try to help too. So we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.